very important for you to know God. You have to know who He is, and you got to know where you stand with Him.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on
a tree.
Like to say tonight, the
this is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. Beginning at verse 8 through verse 16 are the words of our text today. 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 through 16 are the verses that shall be read in your hearing. And I'd like, if you have a Bible in hand or on one of your media applications, to follow along with us. Reader.
1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. Mm-hmm. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Mm-hmm. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Mm-hmm. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.
Yes.
Verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
We need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will soothe all our doubts and cause the sun to shine and bring peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For just a little while this morning, I want to talk about a divine connection. A divine connection. This word is so important to the believer to understand and to be able to operate in his or her life for the glory of God and for your own good. One of the things that I want us to look at, because this text is laden with many, many, many principles and points upon which to teach and preach. And there are so many things that God has to say through this text. It's a tree with many branches that extend in many different directions. So if one don't get you, the other will. All right. If you'll open your ears and hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying. A divine connection is necessary for men and women to be connected with the Most High God. There must be a desire on man's part to connect the creature with the Creator. All right. God has already said, whatsoever he has joined together, let no man put asunder. This has not only to do with marriage, but rather relative to every relation, but rather God has divinely put together. Now in the text, there are four points I want us to look at. First, I want us to look at the proper persons in this divine connection. Then I want you to look at the proper place in this divine connection. And then I want you to look at the proper period in this divine connection. And then lastly, the divine proper person, purpose in this divine connection. The divine persons were connected with God, Elijah, and the widow woman and her son. They were the divine proper persons for this divine connection. Secondly, the place, proper place, was a place called Zarephath. Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, is an interesting place, and I'll tell you a little more about it later. But that was the proper place for this divine connection. Thirdly, I need you to see the proper period for this divine connection, because this had to do with divine timing. And I can't say enough about divine timing, but divine timing has its root in both orders and obedience. And then lastly, the divine purpose, which was the proper purpose, had to be when Elijah would be sustained and the widow woman and her son would be saved. God has a purpose for every divine connection. There are differences in many of us whom the Lord connects. One of the things you're going to notice is what's called here compensating differences. Elijah had faith, but he didn't have food. The widow woman had food, but she had very little faith. Elijah needed to be sustained through this famine that was in the land, that he spoke from his own mouth according to the word of the Lord. But this woman needed to be saved because of her lack of faith. And both of them needed to hear and obey the word of God. Now I want to begin with the text, because in verse 8 and 9, we see God giving the divine order. The divine order. The divine order is important because from it you receive your assignment and your instructions. You will discover Elijah received his assignment and his instructions in the following verses. But the divine order is important because Psalm 37 and 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." So it's important to understand that for this connection to take place, God had to divinely order it. Then I want you to note, when he gives the divine order in verse 8 and 9, verse 10 tells you that Elijah immediately obeyed. Obeyed. So why is obedience necessary? 1 Samuel 15 and 22, the B section of that verse tell you obedience is better than sacrifice. But here is another thing you need to know. Elijah did not debate, discuss, or delay the order of God. He got up immediately and obeyed. I'm going to share with you again a little later why his obedience was so important. So the Bible tells us, as we walk through the text now, he gets up and he heads to Zarephath. Now keep in mind, there is a great famine in the land. He tells King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel that God will not send rain nor dew to the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months because of their evil hearts and their wicked ways. And so now it is suggested by some commentators that this is about year 2 of the drought, leaving about a year, year and a half for the continuation of no rain and no dew. And so Elijah has been taken care of by God throughout this entire famine. He had just left a brook called Cherith that had dried up, but God had divinely inspired ravens to bring bread and meat in the morning and the evening, and he drank water from the brook until the brook dried up. And then God canceled the fettered express service. And here is an important point. I don't have time to deal with all of the points of that text, but he did that because he never wants us to become more dependent on the resources than we are the source. And so he dries up the brook, and then he tells him, go to Zarephath. Now let me throw this out. Sometime God needs to close a door before he can open a better door. I wish y'all were listening to me today. And so before we get mad with God for letting this close or let this dry up or this seem to fail for us. What we need to know is sometimes God knows what's best for us, well, all the time, but sometimes he knows it's best for us to move more hastily when we don't have the same thing we've been holding on to taken away from us. And then we're more readily available to follow his current instructions. So now he tells Elijah to go to Zarephath, and he immediately obeys. Now, when he gets up and goes to Zarephath, here is where you see all of this coming to play. As he's walking through the gates of Zarephath, the widow woman is passing in front of the gates of Zarephath. Now, how would he have known who she was if he had delayed and other folk would have been there? How much longer would it have taken him to find her if he would not have immediately obeyed the voice of God? He's coming through the gate, she's passing in front of the gate, and he says, this has got to be her. He said, excuse me, would you fetch me a little water in a vessel, please? And the woman gives him an affirmative nod. And as she's going, he said, excuse me, could you also bring me a morsel of bread in your hand? Now, the first thing I want you to see here is that when he walked through the gates and she passed in front of the gates, God made a divinely ordained connection. A divinely ordained connection. That woman could have found dry wood anywhere. But she was walking at that time that God navigated her footsteps to walk in front of the gate at the time Elijah was coming through the gates. And there's nobody else to confuse with his question because he knows how God works. And so he says to her what God told him to say, which was to ask for water and bread because she was going to sustain him. Now, the next thing I want you to see, point two of this, is that was a divinely operated course that began. See, when Elijah opened up his mouth, he started a divinely operated course. How is that important? Because first of all, the Bible says, ask. And what's going to happen if you ask? See, if he had just walked through the gate, saw the woman, never opened up his mouth, one, he would have missed the connection. And two, he would not have started the divine course. So from that, she is on her way to get the water. Now, one of the things that plagued me originally about him asking her for water, when water was the greatest commodity in this famined time, was the fact that she had no qualms about giving him water. I don't know if it was because they had a rationing and they gave the widows their rationing first. I don't know if it was because many people had left the city of Zarephath, so therefore that was a little more water per person. But after studying this text, I recognize that the reason God sent Elijah to Zarephath, first of all, the word Zarephath is an important word to the process because Zarephath was a place where God knew action was going on. In other words, Zarephath was a place where God used to process things. It was a place called Refinery. So the word Zarephath means refinery. But Zarephath was located on the coast of the south side of Zidon. In other words, it's just like saying Baton Rouge Exxon is located off the river of Baton Rouge in the parish of East Baton Rouge. Zidon was the larger place, parish, or county of which that place Zarephath was. And so it may not make a lot of sense right now, but if they're on the coast, don't you think they got water? Most refineries are located close to water, because water most times represent the major source of what's necessary for processing. So the water wasn't an issue, but we discover the bread was. When he asked her for a little morsel of bread in her hand, listen, she turns around and comes back and does two things. One, she gives him an inventory of her supply. Two, she reveals to him her intentions of survival. Let me make it plain. When he asks her for a little morsel of bread, she comes back and says to him, "As the Lord your God liveth, I have nothing in the house but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse." Now that's the inventory of her supply. But now she tells him the intentions of her survival. She said, "I was on my way to gather two sticks that I might prepare it and bake it, cook it, eat it, and me and my son die." Those were the intentions of her survival, because she had gotten to the point where all hope was gone. Her faith had dwindled and diminished like the famine-stricken land she was in. She watched everything dry up and began to die, and everything began to go down and become malnutritioned, and even her faith became like what she saw. Amen. So you got to be careful what you look at. Amen. See, because sometimes what you see influences what you think. And she was around everything dying and dead, and that was hopeless, and that was not worth anything, and her faith became like that. But she was in a place of refinery, Zarephath. And so it was an important point to see the compensating differences. Elijah had faith. She had food. He needed food. She needed more faith. God joined them two together because each other together had what each other needed. Now listen to what Elijah tells her. "I've heard your inventory list. I've heard your hopelessness in eating your last supper and dying." He says, "But I tell you what you do." He says, "Make me a little cake first, and then prepare for you and your son." Now that seemed pretty harsh, and I've shared that many times before, that this man of God is listening at this woman tell him, "All I have, I don't even have a cake. I just have a little cornmeal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruise, and we were about to make our last supper, eat it, and die, and you want me to give you a piece of that first?" How selfish that was. How self-intention that appeared to be to me. But little did I know what God knew. You see, God knew that to get a blessing to her, he had to get a blessing from her. Y'all not listening to me. The principle that God was putting into play was so important to her survival. She was going to eat up everything she had, and with no more hope of there being anything left to get, she had made up her mind they were going to die. But the man of God tells her, listen, listen, make me a little cake first. Now, here's what, again, the divinely operated course put into action. When the woman decided, after the man of God told her that God said that the meal in the barrel won't waste and the little oil in the cruse won't fail until he brings rain back on the earth, if you take care of me, God will take care of you. Three things interplayed in this woman making this little cake first. The little cake first represented, one, a sacrificial offering. Now I want you to listen to me well. Sacrificial offerings were given many times to show the earnestness and the truthfulness of the spirit of the person seeking God for a blessing. It was called a sacrificial offering. Secondly, that little cake made first was a sanctified offering. Sanctified because the man of God told her to make him a little cake first, which meant to separate his cake from their cake for the purpose of feeding the man of God, which had a holy purpose for her separating his part of the meal from their part of the meal. So making the little cake first was sanctified offering. But lastly, and surely not least, the little making of the cake first represented a seed offering. Lord, I wish I had some Bible readers in the house. Somehow when she made that little cake first, it suggested she was making a seed deposit in the man of God's heart.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.